This is Dr. Jay Davidson from drjdavidson.com. Thank you for joining me on the Viral and Retroviral Summit. My guest today is Dr. Darren Schmidt, and we're going to be covering an antiviral diet. Dr. Darren Schmidt owns the Nutritional Healing Center of Ann Arbor, which has 7 natural healthcare practitioners. He's a chiropractor that focuses on nutrition since 1998. Dr. Schmidt, welcome to the Viral and Retroviral Summit.
Thank you for having me.
So 1998, and we're in 2019. That's 21 years already?
Yeah, 21 years of hardcore holistic nutrition. My first year was chiropractic only, so.
And then really got into nutrition heavy after that?
In 98, yeah. 1 year of just straight chiropractic, yeah.
So only 20 years of nutrition experience, right? Which is 21. A ton.
Yeah.
So talk to us about, so the topic today that you were covering is antiviral diet. So is there a specific diet that you recommend when we're looking at, impacting or boosting the immune system?
Yeah. So the antiviral diet, there's 2 components to it. Number one is that you can have too much arginine and not enough lysine. So there's foods that have more lysine, less arginine. Those are the foods that you want to focus on. And then, of course, foods that will hinder the immune system. So 2 basic groups of foods would be sugar and dairy. Dairy, I'm a fan of dairy, but dairy is kind of mucousy and sticky, so that alone can slow down the immune system. And then, of course, sugar destroys everything, so no sugar. But I have that, I was looking around, where did I post that antiviral diet somewhere publicly? And the answer is yes. I have it on my YouTube channel. So if you go on YouTube and search my name plus antiviral diet, I did a video about it. And then below the video is a description box, And in there, I just copied and pasted the whole thing right on that description box. The other thing you can do is just search, do a Google search for foods with more lysine than arginine, and you'll find other resources related to that.
So you want foods that have more lysine and less arginine in order to support the immune system?
Right. And then of course you can take lysine supplements, and there's sort of a fad right now to take arginine for cardiovascular health or something like that, but I don't recommend that. And then there's a major group of foods that have too much arginine, not enough lysine. That'd primarily be nuts and seeds. So most nuts and seeds need to be avoided. And I've seen this clinically. I've been using this antiviral diet, 07? Since 07.
Okay.
And I've had the worst conditions. And we do the biofeedback muscle testing, plus people do bring their lab tests. You can test for viruses with a lab test. And I give them that diet, and that is a primary source of relief. So, for example, I had a woman with this horrible vertigo, always dizzy, always nauseous, too easily vomiting. And I had her take I gave her that diet and a couple of supplements. Well, she couldn't even take the supplements. And she just did the diet. Within a few weeks, her vertigo was completely gone. And then she went away from my practice. And 5 years later, I saw her at the grocery store. And she told me she's still following the diet and she still had no problems with her ears, with her vertigo.
Wow. And you attribute, so I have a lot of questions for you, but you attribute the diet then to impacting the viral load that was causing essentially dizziness in her?
Yeah, when I did the muscle testing procedure that we do, I found a virus in her ears and, related to the nervous system, I just had her follow that diet.
So is that EBV? Was that herpes simplex 1? Do you remember or do you test for specific strains at all?
Yeah, with the testing procedure, no, I don't test for specific strains.
Okay. So you're testing for kind of the majors, is it a bacteria, fungus, virus, right, toxin? And then after you identify what it is, then are you looking for the best solution?
Right. Trying to find the right supplement that matches that person. But, it's not every holistic doctor does the muscle testing. But, there's some broad categories of supplements that could potentially help out. Calcium lactate, that helps the white blood cells move. So that's good for people with the virus. And then, of course, I mean, St. John's wort, that's an interesting one. That's for enveloped viruses. And so St. John's wort has been known to be antiviral since the beginning, if you will. And it was in the 1990s, I think it was, that people said, well, it's for depression. And then Pfizer did a study on St. John's wort saying that it's good for mild to moderate depression, but not severe depression. And then, of course, the headlines were St. John's wort is not good for depression, right? They misconstrued all that. But the point here is when somebody takes St. John's wort and they feel better, chances are they have a virus in their brain or a virus affecting their thyroid or something like that, making them depressed. So that's another unique herb that's good for that.
So not necessarily St. John's wort's like in SSRI replacement as much as it's more of going after the pathogen that then is causing symptoms of like depression.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So going back to the diet side of it. So I feel like there's a lot of talk about plant-based. I feel like there's a lot of talk about keto. So you basically said, let's limit nuts and seeds because that will produce arginine. And then what type of foods then do you really want to consume to increase lysine?
That's a good question. That's something I haven't even ever focused on because it's just simply I recommend the lysine supplements. That way you get a high amount measured dose every single day, you know, like in a clinical setting. I just want to make sure people are getting that correct amount of lysine. So avoid the arginine high foods and then add in the lysine. And then related to foods then, like what's the next step? Like I'm always looking at the body from head to toe. So what's the best kind of diet that's really good for the immune system? Let me just jump in on this part right here. You know, there's a carnivore diet, which is basically an all meat diet, and it's become popular in the last year and a half or so. And I got brought into it back about 8 months ago. And as I read people's results on social media and I have my patients go through some of it, not everybody's set up to do the carnivore diet. Some people's bodies just doesn't like meat, but what I'm finding is that the more meat people eat and the less carbs period, even if it's healthy carbs, it's really good for immune system problems, including autoimmune conditions, immune system weakness, you know, just the weird stuff that even ketosis doesn't really touch. It's like the carnivore diet straightens out those really funky immune system problems. So there, and I, you know, and not just regarding viruses too, but fungus, you know, like I have a woman who, she had a chronic yeast infection. She would take some supplements for it and it would go away, but then it would come back. This has been going on for years and years. And I gave her my best supplements and they lasted for a short period of time, but then the problem came back. So one visit we talked, this is on the phone, and she said, I want to go carnivore. And I said, okay, sounds good. We talked 3 months later. And she said, now she can go up the steps without being out of breath. Her fatigue used to be an 8 out of 10. Now it's only a 2 out of 10. So, and it gives you that bigger picture of like, if you're, if your body is weak, if your the muscle physiology is weak, if you know, like if you don't feel strong, then your immune system's not strong. So you got to feed for fitness, you know, feed your body, feed the muscles, and then the muscles get stronger. And that's the single biggest organ in your whole body is the muscles. It's not your liver, it's not your skin, it's your muscles. So get your muscles strong. That really is step one to get everything back in line. And so now you don't necessarily have to do the full carnivore diet where you're just eating meat, but even I've experienced tremendous benefit by reducing my carbs way down, including plants, and then bringing the meat up. I was only eating red meat twice a week, and now I'm at once a day. I've had tremendous benefit from that. And so I have multiple patients over and over again who are getting great benefit from that too.
Wow. Just as you're saying it, I'm thinking about my wife. She's a pretty tiny gal, and a lot of people assume, oh, you must be vegetarian or, you know, like don't eat, right? Anorexic type thing. And she's like, no, I'm her saying over the years was, no, I'm a meatitarian, you know, like she always has felt better, or especially when she was at kind of the bottom with eating more meat. I wonder, so I guess just for clarification then, is the antiviral diet the carnivore diet, or are these two different things?
These are two different things. The antiviral diet is a low arginine, high lysine diet, where you're basically, to keep it really simple, there's a list of foods to avoid. nuts and seeds as one group. And there are exceptions with that. All sugar, all dairy, except for like raw milk, dairy is okay. And there's like three vegetables to avoid. I'm not even going to try to remember them. I think Brussels sprouts was one of them, but don't quote me on that. And just very specific foods. Oats is another food. But with the carnivore, and then with the antiviral diet, it has foods to avoid and then foods to enjoy. And the foods to enjoy list says all other vegetables, meat, raw milk, dairy, and like a few other things. It's kind of wide open.
Okay.
So in that meat category, there's, you know, of course, there's a lot there.
Gotcha. So then the carnivore diet, that's been more of a newer thing that you've seen clinically?
Yeah, it's newer clinically. And it's sort of if you look back at the Atkins original book from the mid-70s, or from 72, he said in the book, there's some people that need to bring their carbohydrates way down to below 20 to get into ketosis. Well, when you're eating carnivore, that's basically what you're doing. So meat has some glycogen in it, which is a carbohydrate. And I mean, and if you go back before Atkins, there was the 1965 protein sparing modified fast diet from Indiana University. And before that, there's books going back to the late 1800s talking about, you know, just eat meat and you'll lose the weight, you'll feel great. You know, so this is not a new concept. You know, this is 150 years old.
So with the meat, where do you feel like, why do you feel like people feel better? I mean, my mind's thinking right away, you know, the diet, first of all, is very polarizing. So anybody just listening this with an open mind, like, you're awesome, because it's so easy to be like, I'm on this side, I'm on that side, I'm not hearing any other side. And honestly, I feel like we need to understand both sides. And I don't know if I don't think we should pick a side. You know, I feel like we should always be open, you know, open to things. But when I'm thinking about, okay, the meat side of things, is it, do people that have like massive parasite infections benefit from meat because, you know, the parasites eat the protein that then we don't get to break down protein into amino acids to then make neurotransmitters and all the happy hormones and things like that. So if we just pound our body with a lot of meat, we're getting a lot of protein, and then we're going to get some of that protein, some of that amino acids. Have you seen like parasites play a role with any of this?
Yeah, I got a great story about that. I have a guy that, before he started seeing me about 6 months ago, he had over a year of maybe 2 years of constant urinating out parasites every time he went to urinate. And he would catch it into a mason jar and look at the urine, and he would see the things floating around, and he was trying to detect what it was. I put him on Mimosa pudica and a few other things. And then he was eliminating stuff out of his intestines, you know, mucoid plaques and longer worms and all that stuff. It was gross. It was great at the same time. But he was always making more, and it seemed like we could never catch up. So 2 visits ago, I told him, I said, stop all the supplements and stop all the plants and just eat meat and nothing but meat. And he came back a month later. He said, we're on to something. All the urinating out of the worms from the bladder, from wherever, it was all gone. It stopped everything. So there's a strengthening of the immune system. But I actually think that meat, I've seen where people, they just go on a carnivore diet, and now worms are coming out in their stool from just eating meat. So I don't know. I don't have an explanation as to why this is or what the meat's actually doing. Is it making the immune system stronger? Does it have its own cleansing ability? I'm not sure, but just the carnivore diet itself, I've seen parasites come out.
Interesting. So you're an expert in lactic acidosis and B vitamins and really like these whole food vitamins. Is there something in the meat that's megadosing us on, do you believe? Or what's your thoughts where that fits in?
Well, I mean, if you get below 20 grams of carbs a day, you're in ketosis, right? So what I talk about a lot is I discovered the mechanism of chronic disease being the lactic acidosis cycle, which was described very well in the 1930s. And I'm not going to get into all that now, but the point here is that there's two ways you can clean up the lactic acid cycle. And there's actually 4 steps in fixing it. But one of them is ketosis. And there's another one, which is clean the blood, which also includes helping the liver clean. Now, if you go vegan, and I'm getting back to what you're saying about diet. I have vegans as patients. I have prominent vegans, meaning like leaders in the field, as my patients. And you can clean your blood and help your liver clean the body out by eating just plants. And then when you go keto and just eating meat and your carbs are less than 20, that's another aspect of fixing lactic acidosis. What I found out from my own sickness from 3 years ago from black mold is that there is a cycle of chronic disease called lactic acidosis as defined in the 1930s and 40s. It's a different definition now, but I use the old definition of it. And there's lactic acidosis is the mechanism of chronic disease. So when you try to fix it, there's four things to do. And one of them is ketosis. And another one is cleaning the blood and helping the liver clean the blood. And so as a vegan, you can do that part. You can clean the body. And then with eating ketogenically or with, you know, nothing but meat, you get the other aspect of it fixed. So the point here is that that's how the carnivore diet, ketogenic diet can help out. Now, I think that you need to cycle in and out of ketosis. That's what our ancestors did. And then being a vegan, if you're a vegan for health, I'm going to also recommend that you eat meat sometimes. Now, I've seen people where they just eat meat maybe once a month or once every few months, just one serving, or, you know, raw fish or eggs or, you know, whatever they like. And so there, some people's bodies are just set up to go vegan, whereas other people, they completely fail at it because of genetics, in my opinion. So anyways, there's a point there about like, if you want to help your body out, you know, there's a couple ways to do that with your diet.
So what I'm hearing, Dr. Schmidt, is changing it up in the diet is always beneficial. In other words, like even if you're carnivore to not be that way 100%, or if you're vegan, not to be that 100%, to change it up. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. And, but then as you change it up, experience what your body's telling you, and then change, you know, like in the future, then you'll know how your body responds when you eat more plants or when you eat more meat. And at the very least, I think everybody should be in ketosis a few times a year. I think that's the one rule that I stick by all the times, that ketosis should be achieved a few times a year.
What kind of duration when you say a few times a year?
Even like if you did a 5-day fast once a year, that'd be minimum. If fasting like that is too hard, then get into ketosis with your diet. Like let's say 2 days in a row, 4 times a year. So in total, we're talking, you know, a week's worth of ketosis.
Okay. So if we do a fast, is it just like a straight up water fast?
Yeah. 5-day fast would be a straight up water fast. Actually, there is the fasting mimicking diet made popular now by Dr. Valter Longo. That's an option.
Yeah. I love the idea of water fasting. I love the idea of changing it up. I feel like it's in that when you change it up, it forces your body to adapt. And that's where true health, or that's where like health improves, is through the adaptation versus you're doing the same thing over and over.
Right. Yeah. And that's true too with using a sauna. That's part of the adaptation, like a stress on your cells in the sauna. Yeah. That's why people who use sauna have lower all cause mortality.
Okay. So is there, as we're kind of wrapping this interview up, Dr. Schmidt, is there any, you mentioned St. John's wort, you mentioned calcium lactate as well too. Is there any other supplements that you like for viruses or for immune system that stands out?
Yeah, I have a lot actually. And, you know, my favorite companies include Systemic Formulas and Standard Process and MediHerb. But MediHerb just came out with a few products a year and a half ago. One's called Vironon, and that's worth mentioning. And there's another one called Myrrh. And then Systemic Formulas, they have Vivi. I'm a huge fan of that. And they have Stabilizer. Standard Process has Immiplex. And they have the calcium lactate. And also Saruta Plus and Cataplex ACP. And now Cataplex ACP is special because it's like the duct tape for healing tissues. It fixes lactic acidosis, and it's got whole food vitamin A, C, And P means like bioflavonoids. So that's really good for just healing tissue. So we're talking sinuses and stuff like that. Those are my favorites just right off the top of my head.
Okay. So the carnivore diet, the antiviral diet, which you said is basically avoiding foods that create arginine. The arginine thing, that seems to be getting traction more for like nitric oxide. Is that
right?
Exactly. So you're saying obviously avoid the foods that are creating high arginine and really focus on, you know, maybe taking a lysine supplement and foods that are more higher in lysine, but then maybe cycling between the antiviral diet to the carnivore diet and then also do some maybe water fasting in the middle of that too.
Yeah, and get into ketosis that way. Yeah, and I think the whole arginine nitric oxide thing, I don't think it's clinically relevant. In my experience, I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't see it being like the cure-all for anything. So I don't really talk about that much. But what you just said was a good summary of my recommendations, yeah.
Awesome. Is there any final thoughts or words here for the Viral Retroviral Summit for the listener?
Yeah, fitness nutrition is human nutrition. That's where to start. So when people do a certain diet and it's not feeding their muscles and they get weaker, that's not the right way to go. You want your muscles to be stronger because you have dozens and dozens of pounds of muscles. And if your muscles aren't fed well, then your little tiny thyroid, your little tiny thymus gland, your adrenal glands, they don't have a chance if your muscles aren't fed very well. So you have to feed yourself like an athlete, basically. Your race is your health. Your race is how fast can you kill that virus versus the virus spreading. That's your race.
Okay. So really think of diet as you want to be able to be physically active. And I feel like in the chronic illness side, that's, you know, exercise is out the window. I can't even get off the couch. I'm bedridden. I don't feel good. So the diet then will support activity.
Right. Yeah. You're chronically sick because you're for various reasons, but on the diet side, feed yourself like you're going to be able to exercise in the future.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does. I love these type of interviews that they just make us process and think so much. Cause that's really, I mean, when you think about it, fast forward 5 or 10 years from now, probably the way that, you know, the listener's thinking today is going to be different than 5 or 10 years. Oh, and yeah, not to be, you know, so fixated that this has got to be it. And then we just look for things to justify what we already believe rather than kind of opening the mind up and then evaluating and testing things out. So I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule from the clinic to do this interview on the Viral Retroviral Summit. Dr. Schmidt, just been awesome. So really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Well, thank you for listening to this interview on the Viral and Retroviral Summit. Make sure to take this life-saving and life-transforming information home with you by clicking on the banner beside or below, and definitely share this with your friends and family. And don't forget to visit Dr. Darren Schmidt at thenutritionalhealingcenter.com. So thenutritionalhealingcenter.com. He's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Maximum blessings. This is Dr. Jay Davidson.